So here we are then, well and truly into the season of Advent, aren't we? It's a strange time in the church's year, I often think. We look forward to Christmas. It's nearly there, isn't it? But it's not here yet. It's a time of waiting. In fact, waiting is one of the great themes of Advent. We wait, don't we, for the arrival of Jesus in the manger. But we also wait for the final arrival, the final coming of Jesus as all of creation is reconciled to God. But how can we, in this season of Advent, I wonder, wait for something that we know has already happened at Christmas? And then what does it mean for us to be waiting for a day in the future that we don't know when it will happen or what it will look like? Imagine for a second, if you can, entering a room and finding in that room a beautifully wrapped present on a table. The label on the present says that the gift is for you, but you can't open it yet. It says on the gift tag you have to wait. I wonder how you would feel. An instruction like that might indeed evoke a whole wide range of different emotions. You might feel a sense of indignation, perhaps, or frustration, or perhaps a tingle of anticipation. You may feel frustrated or irritated, or maybe you'd feel a bit intrigued. I wonder if you've ever had to tell your children or grandchildren to wait for something. They want something and you tell them that they can have it, but not yet. You say, you'll have to wait. How do they react, I wonder, when we tell them that? Not particularly well, I guess, in a lot of cases. Because we live, don't we, in a culture where we're encouraged not to wait, but to have it all now. The pop band Queen had a hit in the 80s. It was a song that I really loved. And the words went like this. They sang, I want it all and I want it now. It was in 1972 that the first credit card was launched. Its slogan was, take the waiting out of wanting. Why wait until you can afford something? Have it now. Have it on credit. Have it straight away. We buy our shopping on the internet, don't we? Where we can view what we want, whenever we want, straight away, and order it instantly. I don't know about you, but I've got Amazon Prime. That means if I order something from Amazon, then I can get it the very next day. So given this culture that we live in, it seems kind of ludicrous, really, that the church should embark on this season of Advent and have to endure 4 or 5 weeks of waiting. Because Christmas comes earlier and earlier every year, doesn't it? We start seeing the adverts and Christmas things in our shops. Have you noticed that people's houses are getting their decorations and their trees up earlier and earlier? So why don't we as a church just skip Advent altogether? Why don't we just have another 4 weeks of extra Christmas? That would be good, wouldn't it? Let's get on and open that present that the person left for us on the table. But you know, I think there's actually something quite important in waiting. I think that waiting is a spiritual discipline. We can learn a lot by waiting. Maybe we can even grow closer to God through waiting. So what does it all mean? When you go through the Bible, you'll see that there's an awful lot of waiting going on through its pages. In Genesis 8, Noah's ark has been out, hasn't it, in the flood, and it's been kind of floating around. And then it stops raining. Fantastic. We can all get out now. But no, they wait 150 days before the ark grounds itself on Mount Ararat. And then they don't get out. Noah sends out a raven. and the raven comes back, and they wait, and he sends out another raven, and the raven comes back, and then he sends out a dove, and then 7 days later, another dove, which comes back for a twig, with a twig. And then they wait a further 7 days before they can all get out. In Genesis 12, we have the account where Abraham is told that he will father a great nation. The problem is, Abraham is 75 years old. He hasn't got long, but he has to wait another 25 years before Isaac is born. And then we come to Exodus, and there's loads of waiting going on in Exodus. The people wait, don't they, for Pharaoh to change his mind while they're in captivity in Egypt. And when they finally get going and escape, they wander around the desert for 40 years, waiting until they're able to inhabit the promised land. In 1 Samuel, Saul is really eager to get into battle, but the prophet Samuel tells Saul not to yet, but to wait until he comes. Saul waits for 7 days, and then he gets fed up waiting and goes on into the battle with disastrous results. When the Jews were taken into captivity into Babylon, they had to wait for 40 years until they could come back to Jerusalem. And then we come to Jesus. Jesus waits 30 years before he begins his public ministry. In a parable that he told about a wedding banquet, he tells his disciples to be like those waiting for their master to return. When Jesus hears that his friend Lazarus is ill, he waits 3 days before going to see him, by which time Lazarus has died. And when Jesus is about to ascend, he tells his disciples not to go out and get going, but to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. And you know, the Bible is full of exhortations for us to wait too. In Hosea 12, it says this: return to your God, maintain love and justice, and wait for your God always. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Psalm 37:7 says this: be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And Heather read to us, didn't she, from Romans 8, where Paul says that all of creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of God's kingdom. We groan inwardly as we wait for our adoption, Paul said. So what is it with all of this waiting? Well, I think there are several things. I'm sure nearly all of you must have seen the Guinness adverts over the years that have been on the television. You know, they pour the beer really slowly into the glass, don't they? And then they have to wait for all the bubbles to settle before saying that phrase, good things come to those who wait. It's a phrase I'm sure that you've heard many times. And it's true. Perhaps what the Bible teaches us, perhaps what Advent teaches us, is that good things do happen to those who wait. Here's a couple of them. First of all, when you wait, you have to live in the present. You have to be aware of where you are right now. Waiting means embracing the present, not in frustration, but in stillness, not in frenzied anticipation, but in delighting in the here and now. It is to find meaning in the very act of waiting. In Advent, we wait for Jesus' coming at Christmas in the sure and certain hope that Jesus did come and still comes again and again. And we look forward to a time when Jesus will finally come, knowing that that future event has already started. Right now, we see glimmers of hope as we see God's kingdom breaking into our lives. This is the day that the Lord has made, the psalmist says. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we wait, knowing that God comes to us in our waiting. God is here now. It's been said that there are only really two questions that really matter on our spiritual journey. The first one is, where am I? And the second one is, what time is it? And there's only one answer to these two questions, here and now. The only time, the only place we can encounter the divine is right here and now. Because in many ways, of course, the present is all we have, isn't it? Yesterday's gone, tomorrow isn't here yet. But today, this moment, this time, is given to us to enjoy and to know the presence of God. And that brings me to another point. You see, waiting is to spend time in the presence of God, to focus on God in expectation, to savour God's place in our lives. I wonder if you've ever tried, perhaps when you were a child, to light a pile of leaves with a magnifying glass using the sun's rays. Did you ever try that, I wonder? And if you do it by waving the magnifying glass about like this, if you keep it moving, of course, the leaves will never ever light, will they? But if you keep still, and if you wait for the sun's rays to focus through the glass, then eventually those leaves will catch fire and you'll get yourselves a bonfire. To wait means you get the full impact, the full power of the sun. And so to wait on God means to know the full power, the full heat of God in our lives. To feel the warmth of God's rays, the transformation that only God can bring about in us. Waiting on God is to know more of God and to experience more of God's love working in our lives. And then finally, waiting on God means relying on God. It's an active expression of our dependence on God. Waiting on God means learning to trust in God's timing, in God's work in our lives. Jesus offered quite often, didn't he, the illustration of a farmer. A farmer plants and then waits. The seeds grow in God's time. It's God who causes them to do so. It's God who grows the new life. There's nothing else the farmer can do. He must wait. Another analogy that we read about in Romans 8 is pregnancy. Now, I can't speak with any authority on this, I have to say, because believe it or not, I've never been pregnant. However, I believe that when a woman is pregnant, when new life has begun in her womb, she must be patient. She must wait. You cannot hurry a pregnancy. It has to complete its cycle. There has to be a trust, an allowance for the baby to do what the baby will do to grow in her. And maybe that's what waiting on God is like. You know there's something really good happening, and you trust that God is working and growing what it is that God has started. But you have to wait. And you have to resign yourself to dependency on the God who is growing God's work in you. So waiting on God is to wait for God's timing, God's miracle that is at work in your life right now. And so this Advent, we wait. We wait as we live in the in-between, in the life of now, but not yet. We wait not for the goal of what is to come, but in the joy of knowing God's presence right now. We wait on God as God continues to work in us, as God continues to come to us. And we wait knowing that as we do so, we grow closer to God and nearer to God. Good things come to those who wait. So may we wait and rejoice in the waiting. Let me finish with the words of Psalm 130. I wait for the Lord, my whole being, and in Him I put my. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning, for with the Lord is unfailing love. Amen.